today as we come to the table.
Jesus said, not one jot or tittle. That is the small little markings in the language. He says, not one of those will fall to the ground. Every one of them has a purpose and has a meaning, and the Holy Spirit specifically chooses them. And it's interesting to me that he chose the word Tola here to be the name of this particular judge. Why do I say that's interesting? Because literally his name means worm, maggot, or larvae. How would you like it if your name meant worm, maggot, or larvae? And yet some of you probably feel like that's what your name means. Now, what do I mean by that? I think most of us have a problem with pride. We tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And God has to bring us down before he can bring us up.
Everything God does and says has a purpose, and a purpose that is beyond what we can imagine. It's hard to comprehend God's sovereignty and plans, because they're so far beyond what we can understand. That is where our faith comes in. We must have faith that God has a plan that will be fruitful. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you as you may be doubting, misunderstanding, or unsure. God has a plan for your life. What the Lord has said and done has all been for your betterment and growth. Don't concern yourself with seeing the full picture. Just trust God in his faithfulness. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 10, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Today is Judges chapter 10. So now, again, you've probably all heard the phrase, you've made your bed, now sleep in it. We don't like to hear that phrase, but the bottom line is that phrase is a true phrase. And what that means is basically, you're the one who did it, so now you deal with the consequences. And so we don't like to hear that, as I said, but the reality is if we understand that and we face it head on, that's when we can have hope individually, and that's when we can have hope as a nation. The nation that is without hope and the person that is without hope is the person that thinks the consequences in their life are all because of someone else. It's something else that happened. It's somebody that did something in my life. It's that politician that's in office, whatever the case might be. And God says to his people, no, I want you to step up to the plate and take personal responsibility for what you've done individually and as a nation. And if you'll do that and repent, I will hear you and I'll heal you. And so that's the hope we have from the Lord. So we don't like to hear it, but it's a true statement. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing by saying that, you know, basically we've made our bed, because if we made a good bed, then great. If we made a bad bed, then, well, that's bad. The bottom line is the children of Israel at this point had been making bad choices. They had made a bad bed, if you will, that they were lying in, and now they're going to face the consequences of it. And notice it's because they were once again honoring the false gods of the peoples around them rather than following the true God of Israel, and now they're going to pay for it. And guys, that's exactly what happens to us. If we honor the true God of the Bible says our nation will be blessed and we'll be blessed individually. But if we honor other gods of the world around us, the Bible says our nation will be cursed and we'll be cursed with it. As one man said, if you buy something for a song, you're going to have to face the music sooner or later. And that's just the truth. We have to face our own consequences. And often in the choices we make at the moment, we don't consider the consequences that we're going to pay later. And this was where the children of Israel were. And again, I see a lot of connections to where we are as a nation. As we go through the book of Judges, I really see America in the book of Judges over and over and over. Because the God, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And the way he deals with his people and the way he deals with even ungodly nations don't change. God is who he is. He operates the same way. And if we understand that and we come under God's leadership and come under God's guidance and are humble before God, we'll be blessed. And if not, then as I said, we'll be cursed. Now, where we left off last time, we had seen they had made a foolish choice for a self-proclaimed leader in following him, a man by the name of Abimelech. And because of this, both he and the people had suffered greatly. And again, it will appear that even now, as we're quite a bit later, a full generation or more later, as we're going to see, they've not learned very much, as they're not following any particular leader once we get into verse 6 and on, but they're still looking to the gods of the people around them. Now, as we get into chapter 10, we'll see a couple of judges here, Tola and Jair, to begin with. And they'll very short mention about them, not a lot about them. So we'll go through that quickly, and then we'll get into verse 6 through the end of the chapter and cover what we're going to really focus on mostly today. But the bottom line is they were basically now suffering the consequences of honoring the gods of the people around them. And the reason I see such an application to America today is because America, in our desire to be politically correct and our desire to make sure that we're inclusive and that we're tolerant, that is at least tolerant for everything but Christianity, if you've noticed. If we're tolerant and we're trying to include everyone, we're starting to honor the gods of the world around us rather than honoring the God that made this nation great. And the reason I see the application here is this is the exact same thing the children of Israel did in their day. God made them a great people. And rather than honoring God for making them a great people, they began to give in to the gods around them and honor the gods around them. And this vicious cycle of God blessing them when they honored him and then God cursing them when they didn't honor him happens over and over and over throughout the book of Judges. And the problem is I see America following that same pattern. We have a nation that's blessed of God and what God has done for our nation. And now we're turning to the other gods of the nations around us, so to speak. And now we're seeing the consequences of that. And isn't it amazing how often we tend by nature to look at everything else around us and every other god around us than the only one that can really help us. It's amazing to me to see our nation and the problem we're in today. We have all kinds of problems in our nation today. And rather than as a nation and as our leaders and the nation together saying, Jesus, we need you again. We've turned away from you. We decided in 1962 and 63 to remove prayer and the word of God from our government and our school systems and all that. And now we're seeing the consequences. We're reaping the consequences of a nation that's turned from God. We want you back. We need you back. Rather than doing that, we're trying to fix it ourselves. We're trying to come up with certain politicians that might have the right plan to fix the economy or maybe take care of the problems that we are now going to be facing with terrorism or whatever happens in our society. And those that are charismatic and able to convince us of that can get our vote. And certainly we do need leaders. But the answer is not in a man. And the answer is not in anything but in God. And God was trying to get this message across to the children of Israel, and they just wouldn't learn the message. And so when I read about how God was dealing with the nation of Israel, listen, we're reading about how God deals with us. And we're going to be reading about how God deals with us even today from this passage. And we're going to see what it is that we need to do in order for God to restore us. Let's jump into it. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Remember, we left off last time with Abimelech again being this wicked ruler that had died and been put to death by this woman that dropped this stone on his head. And all that had happened, God had repaid him for his wickedness and brought consequences on the people for not honoring him and honoring Gideon and his family, which God had used in a great way. And it says, and after Abimelech, there arose to save Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo. Now, I'm certain back then the name didn't mean the same thing it does to us today. I doubt it's all said, he's cute, let's call him Dodo. I don't think that happened. I think probably, very obviously, it had a different meaning back then. And in the society, it was probably something very cute and a very great name. So let's give him a break there. He was a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in the mountains of Ephraim. And it says he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. Now, just like J.R., we don't have a lot about Tola. We do see that Tola was used to save Israel and that he reigned for 23 years or led the people for 23 years. So obviously he was someone that God put in place and someone that God used, and he was a blessing to the people. But again, I find it very interesting what his name actually means. That is Tola's name. And as you know me, I encourage you guys to look the name meanings up in Scripture and do your word studies. Buy a concordance or whatever you need. I'll teach you how to use it if you buy a concordance and say, how do I look their name meanings up, or even a good name meaning book. Because what I have found over the years of study is the Holy Spirit doesn't waste words. He uses every word specifically for a very specific reason. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle. That is the small little markings in the language. He says, not one of those will fall to the ground. Every one of them has a purpose and has a meaning, and the Holy Spirit specifically chooses them. And it's interesting to me that he chose the word Tola here to be the name of this particular judge. Why do I say that's interesting? Because literally his name means worm, maggot, or larvae. How would you like it if your name meant worm, maggot, or larvae? And yet some of you probably feel like that's what your name means. Now, what do I mean by that? I think most of us have a problem with pride. We tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And God has to bring us down before he can bring us up. But there are some of you here that feel like your life is really nothing more than a worm's life. Maybe it could be the next Disney movie, A Worm's Life. You know, you'd be the star, you know, or whatever. And maybe it's because of your past. Maybe it's because of all the sin you've been through. Maybe it's because of all the junk you've been through now. Maybe it's because of continued failures in every part of your life. I mean, that really, you know, and it's interesting. This ministers to me because I look back on my life and quite honestly, I feel like in every area of my life, I've failed. Now, I'm not saying that to be self-deprecating or, oh, poor Mark. I'm just saying, I think we all see our failures and our faults. And when I see somebody like Tola here and I see that God can raise a man up who feels like he's a worm and use him, that's encouraging to me. Because if God can use a worm, God can use us. And again, this is where some of you need to be encouraged. Listen, God wants to use you. And no matter how wormy you feel, no matter how much like a maggot, quit painting the picture, Mark, I've said enough, right? No matter how bad you feel, the bottom line is, here's all God requires for you to be used. God will make you a Tola. Now that's a better word to use, I'll use that, but you know what it means. God will make you a Tola if you'll simply make yourself available and be prepared. That's all he says to do. He says, you feel worthless? You feel like you can't do anything? Nobody would listen to you at the office? Nobody in your family would give you any attention because you're, you know, the one that was always the failure, or you did this, or the one that was always in trouble, and now your life has changed in God? Listen, you prepare. You get in the Word, you get in prayer, and you make yourself available to me, and I'll take even a Tola and raise him up to be a leader. That's what our God does. And God wants some of you to know this morning who are feeling like God could never do that with you because of your past and how you view yourself. God's saying, you know what? It doesn't matter to me what you're made out of. If you'll make yourself available and you'll be ready, I'll use you. And then I think that's exactly what he was doing with Tola here. He used him to save Israel. He used him to be a testimony to the nation and be a testimony to us. And this kind of stuff is encouraging to me. And I want to encourage you guys with it because sometimes I'll find that, for example, when I study for a Sunday morning, stuff just jumps off the pages. I mean, I can't get enough. I don't have enough time to cover everything that God has shown me. And it's simply because God loves you. It's not because I'm so spiritual or that I have this great insight. The true reason is God's not giving me all that so I can walk around filled up with the things of God. He's giving me that so I can come this morning and pour it out and share it with you guys. And sometimes I have so much, I feel like I just can't get it all out. You know, Tracy will say on some Sunday mornings like that, she says, Mark, you're more like a fire hydrant than a water fountain. Slow down. And just don't put so much information out. You can't put 20 years of teaching in one Sunday. So just feed the people. And God uses her to encourage me in a great way. And I can still, oftentimes when I teach, I can hear her say, slow down, you know. And that's healthy for me because that's how I go. But sometimes I can study all week and there's almost nothing. And I'll have mornings where I'm here praying before the service starts and I'm saying, God, I've got to feed the people this morning. Here we are with the Word and I need something to give them. And you've given me some stuff. And Lord, I know I could just read your Word and people would be encouraged because it's your Word. But is there not something more? I mean, we need 40 to 45 minutes worth here, Lord. Not a good point, right? And all of a sudden stuff will begin to come. Why? Because I stand before the Lord. And I say, I can't do it. It's not me. I have nothing to offer them. But you love them. And they're all going to be getting up this morning, getting ready, driving here and parking in this parking lot. The last thing they want to do is waste their day. If I'm not prepared and God doesn't use me to feed you, I've wasted 300 hours of his time at one moment. That's a sobering thought for a pastor. And so I say, God, you've got to give me something. The people need to be fed. And God is always faithful to do it. And oftentimes I feel like, Lord, how could you use me? Much less, why are you using me? And God will say, Tola, I'll use anybody. You make yourself available, you ask me to do it, and I'll do it. And I've seen God be faithful. So I'm here to tell you that if you will simply ask God to do it, God will be faithful to do it. Now we come to the next guy. Look at Jair. Verse 3, it says, after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. So the two of them together, a little bit more than a generation, if you will. 123 years, 122. And he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they also had 30 towns, which are called Havath-Jair, which means the towns of Jair, or villages of Jair, to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Canaan. Now again, we don't get much about Jair. It doesn't say much about him. It just says that he was 22 years there. He had 30 sons. He obviously had a lot of kids, so he had a big family. And they rode on 30 donkeys. Now again, back then, the donkeys that the kings or the leaders or rulers had were thoroughbred donkeys. They're not like the ones we see and think of today that are the stubborn donkey in the field that won't budge and looks all ugly or whatever. These were well-bred animals. They were beautiful animals, and the kings rode on them. So basically, what we know about JR is he had a lot of kids who had really nice cars. And they ruled over these villages. And again, it was God's blessing in his life because, you know, God blessed him. And so we don't have much about him as far as that goes. But again, God sees enough purpose here in Jair's life to give him an honorable mention. And now we get to verse 6, which speaks of, again, the state that the nation is now in once again after just one generation of, again, trying to follow God and this whole cycle of following God, falling away, following God, falling away. And here we are again. Notice it says, then the children of Israel again. And I have that underlined. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals and the Ashtaroths and the gods of Syria and the gods of Sidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the people of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. Bottom line, they're serving every other religion, every other god, every other thing that comes along their path than the one that made them great and truly is the one that will help them. Now, does that not ring a bell in America today? What are we doing? We're honoring every other religion, every other god, even from the foreign lands. We're honoring them over Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible, which our nation was founded on. Is it any wonder that our nation is falling apart? This is the pattern that God follows. When a nation turns away from God, God allows the nation to fall apart. And then he brings their attention. He raises people up to say, here's why you're falling apart. You're not honoring me anymore, and you're honoring the other gods of the nations. It's time to turn back and honor me once again. And so God is trying to get their attention as they continue this cycle. And God's going to, again, we're going to see this time in just a moment, rather than simply deliver them, God's going to confront them. But why? Because, again, the Baals, the Ashtoreth, all these different gods that they're serving, everything but the true God of the Bible. This is amazing to me because we repeat the same thing over and over from generation to generation. I look at our nation today and I see the mess that we're in. They were in a horrible mess. And so what do? They start honoring the other religions and the gods that can't help them. Now, I don't know if because they wanted to seem tolerant. Maybe they wanted to seem accepting. Maybe, I don't know what their motivation was, but it was destroying them as a people and destroying them as a nation. You know, we can't even speak the name of Jesus or honor God, the God of the Bible, without being attacked. Yet if we honor Islam today, we're called inclusive. We're called tolerant. We're called accepting. Guys, the God of the Bible is the one that made this nation great. The God of Israel is the one that lifted us up to the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And the fact that we're turning away from that God, it's not that we don't love peoples that are involved in other false religions or other false gods. We do love them. And again, we should have no problem with them coming here, but we should not change who we are to meet them, because we're doing just like the children of Israel. We're saying, you know, we don't like the way we were, God. We want to change to the way the gods are around the world. And God says, you want to be like the nations around the world? I'll let you do that if you want. But I'm going to begin to turn you over to the nations around the world. And that's exactly what we're going to see that God does here with the children of Israel. He begins to turn them over. And we're going to see that God becomes so fed up with the fact that he's been so good to them, and they're turning now to these other gods, that God says, you want those other gods? I'll give them to you. You want to be like the other nations? I'll bring them in and turn your nation over to them. And it's exactly, again, when I see what God did with the nation of Israel, I watch what's happening with America, and it puts a very humble fear in my heart for the direction we're heading. But again, before we're done today, it also gives me great encouragement to see that when they repented and cried out to God, he restored them. Sometimes people say to me, you know, Mark, do you think we're too far? Is God going to judge America? Have we gone too far? I don't believe so. Now, the Bible says there is a place we can reach where God says, that's enough. I'm not going to bless you anymore. I'm going to turn you over to what you want so badly. You want it that badly? I'll let you have it. Matter of fact, it's a sad place for a nation. Jeremiah was praying for his nation. And God finally comes to Jeremiah because they'd gone so far away from God, they decided they didn't want God anymore. And God says to Jeremiah, don't even pray for them anymore, Jeremiah. Stop praying for them. That is a scary place to be as a nation. When God begins to tell the believers in the nation, no longer don't pray for America anymore. I'm done with them. It's time now to wipe them out and start over. That's a scary place. But that is a repeated history that we see throughout the Bible for civilizations that turn away from God. And again, the Lord is going to restore them, but he's going to speak very humbly or very soberingly to them, rather, to break them, because they're worshiping all these other gods. And notice what it says in verse 7. It says, so the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the people of Ammon. Now notice here it says that the anger of the Lord was hot against them. Why? Because they keep making the same foolish mistakes over and over. And God says, that's enough. Now, there's several things to note here. We don't often think of God being angry, but guys, the reality is God does get angry. We speak of a loving God. He is a loving God. He's a gracious God. We're going to see in the midst of his anger, his forgiveness and his grace as we go through this story. But God is made of the same emotions we are. The Bible says we were made in God's image. It doesn't mean we look like God visibly. What it means is God created us to have the same characteristics he does. God has joy and happiness. God gets angry. We have joy and happiness. We get angry. The emotions we have are not wrong. As a matter of fact, anger is not wrong. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. We see that God here gets angry, but God never sins. So we know that God controls that. He has control of his anger. The problem with us is that when we get angry, sometimes we do sin, don't we? And so we don't have that same control over it. But the bottom line is, no matter how gracious God is, God says he does get angry. And here the children of Israel have made him angry, and God is going to deal with him because of his anger. And again, I think anger is a good emotion to have under the proper guidance of the Spirit. Listen, if you're not angry about abortion, if you're not angry about the direction our nation is going and turning away from God, if you're not angry about seeing all the injustices around the world, you're not alive. That's not sin. That can be a great motivator, but make sure that the anger stays under control. And notice, due to God's anger and his discipline of the children of Israel, it says he sells them, or we would say turns them over into the hands of the Amorites and the Philistines, that is, into the hands of their enemies. And this is what God does to a people or a nation that makes him angry because of their continual rejection of him. He begins to turn them over to their enemies. Guys, is that not what we're seeing in our nation today? I think there's probably a little bit of healthy anger toward America. And that's not a message you hear very much, and I don't want to give you the wrong impression of God. But I do believe that we have done things to provoke God. We've turned him away, and we're turning now to all the other gods and saying, we want to try what they did. Why would we be the greatest nation on the planet and turn to what everyone else has done, and they've not been as blessed as we are? And this is what perplexes God as well. And notice God turns them over to their enemies. I find it interesting here that Philistines literally means immigrants. That's what the word means. God turned them over to immigrants because they angered him and were unfaithful with the land that he had given them. And he says, I will put you out of the land and turn your land over to other people if you continue on this pattern and if you don't repent. Do you see any applications to where we are today as a nation? Guys, the idea is not that we should shut all of our doors and never let anyone come to America. America is the hope of the world in many ways. Obviously, God is the hope of the world, but as far as a land to go to, that's not the idea. But God says, I don't care how blessed a land is, if you turn from me, I'll begin to turn that land over to other people. And the gods that you so much want and you want to be all-inclusive about and be tolerant of, I'll let them take the land over and it'll belong to them and they'll rule it and they'll run it. I read this in a very sobering way, because in Deuteronomy, God says that if a people group rejects him and worships and honors other gods, he will eventually give that land over to those people.
This message you heard from the book of Judges today is just one of many. As we keep working our way through this book, here on Come to the Table, Pastor Mark Kirk is the teaching pastor of this ministry, and we come to you out of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. In the book of Judges, you hear and learn about Gideon, Jephthah, Deborah, and Samson. These are just a few of the judges that God appointed to the nation of Israel to help them get out of oppressive situations. Essentially, the people of Israel kept rebelling and going against the standards that God had established with Israel generations before. But typical of human nature, they ran away from God's rules, and they went and did whatever they wanted. These choices led them to an unpleasant place of judgment, because it was. Do you have situations where you're handing out consequences for sin with your children? Have you been on the receiving end of consequences or punishment? It's an uncomfortable place to be, whether you're giving the discipline or receiving it. Ultimately, God just wanted the people to follow him with all of their hearts, as he had laid out for them in previous books of the Bible. He wanted to gently discipline them so that their hearts would come back to him in the process. He used these various judges mentioned in this book to be a conduit of what his heart was for them in the long run. If you're ever interested in learning more about this ministry or getting in touch with us in some way, head over to thewaymedia.net. There you can also find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Thanks for listening to Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.